All right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Wednesday, January 27th, 2015, 2016. I'm still doing that. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules here on UCY.TV. Happy Wednesday, everyone. I know we're halfway, but oh, I already am hurting and feeling the effects of a hard week. It is 31 degrees and light snow here in upstate New York. Looks kind of cloudy and yucky, but we had mid-40s yesterday, and just about everything melted, so that made me really happy. So where do we leave off yesterday? Sip of coffee. We titled the show Smart Clothes, DARPA HD Brain Implants, Nanotech, and Outbreaks. And I know those are pretty typical topics for us, but what was the most disturbing thing that we talked about? I don't even remember. They all just start to bleed together. And then we did like 12 hours of testing trying to get something working perfectly yesterday. And it's my brains are still scrambled. It was a lot of messing around and needless mental anguish. I don't know what we looked at. We looked at mosquitoes. We looked at DARPA. We looked at the brain implant. I found some very disturbing stories like I always do. Oh, we looked at the pathogens and the strange outbreaks, that one in Ukraine and then in the prison facility in Indiana. And also at the algae. That was where we ended the show, at the algae that they think can now cause Alzheimer's. Well, you know what? As the drums of climate change are beating, we now have beyond an epidemic of Zika. You know, I really am going to tell you, I still believe that there's something to Zika and the genetically modified mosquitoes being released on the unsuspecting populace, because yesterday's headlines were completely filled with Zika stories. And hold on one second, because I want to get down to the one from Colombia last night that really caught my attention. Here we go. An estimated, you know, in Brazil, they released the Oxitec mosquitoes back in May or June of last year, right before the very first cases of this mysterious new Zika virus that they thought maybe came in on the World Cup canoes. I saw some ridiculous explanation like that in Brazil, but now it's become epidemic proportions. There was over 3,000 babies now so far born with this microencephaly, where they part of their brain is way too small, and I don't know if their parts of their brains are missing or not. I think that might be in some of the other encephalies that we're finding out there. There's a few different locations for a few different reasons. But regardless, we still have this birth defect. And it was over 3,000, 3,200, 3,700 last count I saw in just Brazil. The news comes out yesterday. 600,000 Zika cases now estimated in Colombia, guys, 600,000. And not just that, but wait, oh, wait. We see all yesterday, first case of Zika detected in Arkansas and Virginia. Now, we saw already California and Florida and Illinois, Texas. Now we got Arkansas and Virginia. Mosquitoes capable of carrying Zika virus found in Washington, D.C. Of course, that's right over the water from Virginia. But even better yet, it's all in the name of global warming. And I don't know about you, but I thought Europe was getting a pretty damn cold winter. But guess what? Zika virus spreading in Europe, as now the first person tests positive in Denmark. And what's so odd about this is everything that I've seen has been the people that traveled to the southern hemisphere, gotten bitten, and then traveled back to their home countries, and then were diagnosed with the disease or the illness, the virus. It's not a disease. It's a virus. It's a mild virus that most people don't get sick from. I saw another story yesterday, too, that they're, you know, medical professionals, though the CDC says that they think there might be a link. They think between the mosquitoes and this microencephaly. They're not sure. And that's where my big question comes in. They're spinning this that it's the mosquitoes. And right on the heels of all this, now all the horror, oh my God, it's spreading across Europe and DC and the United States. Holy shit. But wait, what they don't keep telling you, they title the story Spreading in Europe. Well, this person in Europe must have been in the Southern Hemisphere. All right. We don't have Zika mosquitoes that I've seen unless they, oops, accidentally release some more. I haven't seen Zika mosquitoes yet flying wantonly during winter, mind you. It is January in the Northern Hemisphere, and global warming hasn't screwed things up that badly. All right. I don't know of a mosquito that can survive in 31 degrees. Do you? No. So there's no Zika in New York. I mean, I don't know. I'm just putting on the common sense hat. They're spinning stuff up as they point to people who are calling bullshit on vaccines and some of the dangers that we need to be aware of and all this mad science they're putting into them and then not telling you about and making it have a pretty little face on it. This is going to keep your kids safe from all these horrifying illnesses that are springing up in the name of climate change. They're pointing to us saying, wait, you anti-science, anti-vacker people, you're not looking at the facts. But in the reality, we are looking at the facts. That's why we're calling bullshit on things. And when they start confusing the story, so dumb end users look at this and they just go, oh my God, another disease is spreading. Now, of course, we're going to have a vaccine soon. You know we are. We already have the dengue vaccine. We read about that a couple times, that Sofier, I believe was the name of the company. We read about them again yesterday that developed the dengue vaccine. We also found out looking in the genetic database on viruses that dengue and Zika are from the same family. So I don't, you know, I'm going to put on my bioengineering hat, my vaccine making hat. I don't know. They're both from the same family. Like I said, knowing the immune system in the basic sense, I would think that a vaccine, quote unquote, would be pretty similar between the two, especially if the two viruses come from a same family with similar proteins. But to make it sound like in all these cases that we have a full-blown outbreak in Europe, oh, I'm going to call absolute utter bullshit. We don't have an outbreak in Europe. We don't have an outbreak in Florida. Now, Florida would be the one place in the United States. It's always warm and moist and, you know, rainy, thunderstormy, hot. Even when it's winter, tip of Miami, Keys, pretty warm. That would be where I would expect to see large numbers of cases. Now, they've seen some dengue. Again, dengue, another one. That most cases of dengue are not life-threatening. Might get a little sick for a little while, but most people recover just fine. And the people in Florida, twice now, Oxitec has tried to use the few dengue cases in Florida to release the hounds. First time they got stopped. Now they're talking about doing this everywhere. We just created some brand new Zika mosquitoes. So here's a story that came out yesterday now on the tail of all this news. Dengue spreading. Zika spreading everywhere. This is the new measles of 2016. GMO mosquitoes may battle Zika and dengue in Brazil. Oh, what could go wrong there? They already released the dengue mosquitoes. Like, is it really that difficult to put a dotted line between just releasing those mosquitoes and this epidemic in Brazil? Why aren't some of these pregnant mothers standing up going, what? And I mean, maybe they are, and it just isn't getting out there. But why isn't anyone questioning the coincidence of this. And what's even more coincidental is we find out that Oxitec has financial ties to Syngenta, and we dug up a long time ago that Oxitec was also getting funds from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation for some of the research they've been doing a while ago. And it really has to make you wonder, especially everything we know about Bill Gates. And I mean, I've been following Bill Gates for the last 20 years very closely because of my tech stuff. We all loved Bill Gates back in those days because he could do no wrong. But you know what? After I really sat here last night in a moment of sadness, just about a lot of things. I don't know. It was a bad day yesterday. I'm suffering for it today. But in a moment of quietude, I'm sitting here by myself, just kind of like letting the day's events just kind of cycle through my head so I could clear my head and go to sleep. And the one thing that kept flashing into my head was Bill Gates releasing those damn mosquitoes at that TED conference back quite a number of years ago, talking about how we need to get the carbon quotient down to zero to save the planet. Now, if you haven't seen that, I'm sure you could search Bill Gates, carbon to zero, something like that. He talks about using vaccines to reduce the population, you know, that whole deal, that whole dealio. And how, you know, carbon dioxide is the worst greenhouse gas. No, it really isn't. I mean, there's such a bullshit story being painted right now that just defies logic. And people are just buying into this hook, line, and sinker without using their thinking caps. We exhale carbon dioxide. All plants, all green plants that I know of, use carbon dioxide as food. Well, I don't know. We have too much carbon dioxide. Start planting a shitload of trees. I don't see how that's rocket science. I'd be more worried about the uncontrollable methane that's not only pouring out of that well in Los Angeles and the Porter Ranch, but also up in our entire Arctic regions from permafrost meltage under the ocean. You know, the Russians started calling red alert back like 4 years ago up in the Arctic Circle near Alaska. Methane is the greenhouse gas we have to be aware of. And notice nobody's talking about methane. Dane Wigington has talked about methane since the very beginning. Methane mass expulsion, it's called. Look it up, because it's happening. But these carbon trading quotient trolls, these CO2, gotta kill the CO2 producer people. They're talking like CO2 is such a bad thing. It isn't. And you can even make it into fuels. I just saw a couple things this morning. I'm not going to get off base here. Maybe we can talk about those tomorrow. Or you can use CO2 for fuel. You can use methane too. Ignite it. But it's very worrisome to me that we have this very extremely potent greenhouse gas pouring from many locations into the atmosphere. And it's not even mentioned at all. I don't hear it anywhere, not in the mass mainstream, not out of Billy Gates' mouth. It's all about CO2. So when I start really looking at the whole layout of things here, and again, back to my quietude last night, and just connecting dots, Bill Gates, eugenics, CO2, climate change, COP21 just happens. That was the day that they dropped the guillotine. It's time to go, people. And Zika just starts raging everywhere by a company that makes GMO mosquitoes. They just dropped them off right before Zika went pandemic, which it's going to be. You wait and see. We enforce vaccines for pregnant women. And Bill Gates has a dotted line to his name to all of this. And remember, they talked about being able, our biowarfare program, the United States biowarfare program that, by the way, never ended in 1972. It's just being done on the defensive now. They've been using insects as disease vectors since day one. This is old school biowarfare. So, as we have now, an entire generation of children that's going to appear here if this continues at this rate. And I mean, this has just been in a few months, it's gone to this level. In all these South American countries where, oops, we have food shortages, and oops, our economies are kind of toppling here as all of our gas and oil prices tank. There's not enough food. There's not enough jobs. There's not enough oil. Oh, my God. And we have too much CO2. We need to reduce the population. Think about it. A lot of these microencephaly babies aren't going to make it to adulthood. They're not going to be normal children. They'll be disabled for the rest of their lives if they survive even. They're not going to be reproducing. And there's an entire generation that have been taken out of the equation without anyone ever being any of the smarter, if that makes sense, right? They didn't do it. Not like they culled the babies on the surface. Just saying, to me, this is just stinks to high heaven of something very evil and insidious. All right, let's read this. So on the tail of all the Zika fear and dengue fear, and I mean, I don't know, before this past summer, I really hadn't even heard of dengue. And I mean, yeah, if you live down in the Southern Hemisphere, I'm sure you did over the last few years, because apparently it's been spreading across the Southern Hemisphere. I've been watching a few maps, but typically, like I said, it didn't affect us up here. The symptoms are not severe, and most people recover. I mean, some people get sick from secondary infections, and you can end up with encephalitis or something like that, but most cases, they don't. But just out of the blue, like they pulled that plug out of the drain in the tub. Was that a good sound effect? All of a sudden, climate change is everywhere, and it's so damn warm in the Northern Hemisphere in January that we got to be afraid of a tropical freaking diseases. Explain that to me. I'm really confused by that. So, okay, so now we have all the fear. Problem, reaction, solution. Oxitec to the rescue again. And I really would like to know who's behind that Interexon, like fully behind Interexon, that new company that bought Oxitec, the genetically modified potato and the genetically modified apples that have all been approved and released on the market. Because that might tell us more. If I have time, I'll look into that. I don't know. I might skip testing today. It's too traumatic yesterday. 12 hours of freaking, I was having like literally carotid arteries hurting in my neck. Sciatic pain today. Just, it was a bad body stress for yesterday. All right, let's read this. GMO mosquitoes may battle Zika and dengue in Brazil, so let's let them all go and see what happens. A company that genetically engineers mosquitoes to produce quote-unquote dud offspring says an experimental program has reduced the number of mosquito larvae by 80% in one small Brazilian city. You know, we read a story yesterday on the mosquitoes as well about, and I'm assuming that these are the ones they released in Brazil. We've actually read about using the CRISPR-Cas9 technology in a couple different ways on these GMO mosquitoes, population reduction and population suppression. But the one way that they were talking about yesterday is where they cut in genes into these mosquitoes in the males before reproduction to require the offspring to need tetracycline. And because Oxitec says that tetracycline does not exist naturally in our environment, that when the males reproduce with the females and the larvae are born, they won't be able to find a supply of tetracycline in the environment, and hence they die. Well, we found out a few things. One, whoops, female mosquitoes were accidentally released as well as the males. The females are the ones that can bite. The females are the ones that there was some concern could pass some of this genetically modified RNA through their, I don't know, is it called a proboscis on mosquitoes? They're a little pokey thing that bites you. And mosquitoes, of course, can pass disease as they're touching your blood and biting you. But there was some concern because there were female mosquitoes that apparently were accidentally released. But the other thing was, and we knew this, that tetracycline does exist somewhere in the environment. I wasn't even thinking about the farm animals, but I was thinking about sewage because, and hey, we're America. We're where they overprescribe antibiotics for everything, including the common cold. So the sewage, nice, dirty, nasty, warm, slimy, stinky places that, oh, who likes to breed there? Oh, mosquitoes. Yes. Perfect breeding ground for mosquitoes. And now let's go to a nation like Brazil that probably doesn't have sanitation to the level that we have here. I don't know. I've never been there, but I would imagine Brazil still kind of looks a little second worldish. I wouldn't imagine that it would be as sophisticated, I mean, at least in the streets or whatever. I don't know. I mean, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But I'm going to guess that Brazil probably doesn't have the same sort of sanitation that we have here. And that it would be very easy for these mutants to breed and exist and potentially even procreate, which could then lead to mutations, right? We've seen in doing some of these mad science experiments. No, Lumper, this isn't a replay, but I guess. Should I change topics? And this is something that's bothering me a lot. Do we think we learned a lot about this already? We can go on to another topic? I guess we can. I was going to run a replay. I wish I would have known. So anyway, I guess I won't talk about Zeke anymore. Let's go find something else. No, I'm going to get back to the vaccine, to the mosquitoes. So anyway, this is on NBC as of yesterday. Company that genetically engineered mosquitoes to produce dud offspring says an experimental program has reduced the number of mosquito larvae by 80% in one small Brazilian city. And now they plan to expand production of the insects to fight Zika, dengue, and other dangerous viruses. So let's make sure we cut some more stuff in there. Oxitec, based in Britain, started developing the mosquitoes to fight dengue, a potentially deadly virus that circulates in many countries around the world, and that's especially, especially bad in Brazil. But the same mosquitoes also carry, whoops, the chikungunya virus, the yellow fever virus, and Zika. Oh, yes. The once little known scourge. Yes, it was little known because, whoa, it just came out of nowhere. That's spreading rapidly across the Americas and that doctors suspect may cause birth defects. Now, two very interesting things in that sentence. Little known scourge. Yeah, they'd only seen it like in Africa. It was a little African village or something that they even got the name from. And now it's just like exploding everywhere. And they're making it sound like they knew that this was causing the birth defects. But then as we dig a little more, no, this is just suspected. This is just what they're pointing to. Who knows what's doing it? But I would be very horrified. I would be very horrified whether or not it's radiation, right? We made some connections to that. Lonnie was talking about some of the uranium mines down in the southern hemisphere near where some of this microencephaly is happening. But I would even say, let's look a little bit further. Who knows what they've been giving to pregnant women in these South American countries? Hey, I don't know. We came up with some brand new nutrient, some brand new vitamin, some brand new something to give pregnant women. And here we're going to give this to you, poor third world nation. Mr. Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, you know, oh, it's all about infant health. Here we're going to give you some philanthropic you know, good deed to help make your pregnant women healthier. I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't something like that, but this is very frightening, and this does not seem to me to be just the attack of the mosquitoes. It's not. It can't be. So the officials in Piracicaba, Brazil, agreed to work with Oxitec to expand its production facility in the town, which operates in a region that produces sugarcane near the coastal city of Sao Paulo. We decided to extend the project for another year and also signed a record of intent to expand the project in the central area of Piracicaba, whatever it is, says Gabriel Ferrato, mayor of Piracicaba. Let me spell it. P-I-R-A-C-I-C-A-B-A. Said in a statement released by the company Oxitec. Now, here's a question. How much is Gabriel Ferrato getting in a kickback from Oxitec to continue their operations in the city? I'd be very interested in that. I'd be very interested in how much money Gabriel Ferrato got for the first testing that started last summer. The company's scientists genetically alter the male mosquitoes so that any offspring they father do not develop properly, or so we hope. These genetically modified males mate with females, which lay dud eggs, again, which so we hope. And even more coincidental, and we've pointed this out before, is the fact that these genetically modified mosquitoes have mutant infants. I mean, does that not ring alarm bells? They have mutant infants. And now we're having mutant infant humans. Anyone who's not crying bullshit foul to what's going on here, it's got to have a screw loose. So I can't wait to see how long it's going to be before all of a sudden dengue Zika vaccinations become mandatory here for pregnant women. Because, whoops, if you had a microcephaly child, it's going to be a huge strain on the healthcare system. They're already saying that, actually, down in Brazil. Brazil, they apparently had a pretty decent healthcare system. And now they're screaming that, oh my God, there's just such a huge number of all these new babies born with this horrifying disease that it's going to overwhelm the healthcare system. Oxitec is also waiting for permission to test their mosquitoes in the Florida Keys. We found that out, where dengue and other viruses could also take hold in the mosquito populations. Mosquitoes carry many, many different viruses. Be afraid, be very afraid. Part of the biowarfare program. The most common is dengue, which threatens 40% of the world's population and infects close to 400 million people each year. It kills out of those 400 million people, 2,000, yes, 2,000 people out of 400 million infections. I think that that is a global pandemic. Holy shit. According to the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Oh, yeah, we also had a baby born in Hawaii. I forgot about that one. Again, somebody who traveled from a South American country back to the United States. Now, I mentioned, though, the one thing that concerns me that I've read in some of the science journals is that there is a concern that potentially, if a Zika-positive person gets bitten by a mosquito, that mosquito could catch Zika and pass it on to the next person it bites. So even though I'm not believing that we have Zika mosquitoes all over the planet already, It's very possible, as we have these Typhoid Marys getting sent out to all these different cities now to have microcephaly babies all over to scare the pants off of people. 2,000, Gene. 2,000 people are killed each year, per the CDC, out of 400 million infections a year for dengue. But it's an epidemic. The same Aedes aegypti mosquitoes that transmit dengue also spread Zika, which is now expanding in 18 countries in the Americas, according to the Pan American Health Organization. Once thought harmless, Zika is now strongly suspected as causing severe birth defects, such as microcephaly, in which the baby's head and brain are underdeveloped. So yes, did you hear that? Once thought absolutely harmless, all of a sudden, after these genetically modified mosquitoes were released, and now, whoops, something went wrong. Somehow, Zika has become a bioweapon. Oh, how did that happen? Interestingly enough, they're now also thinking that Zika may cause neurological complications such as Guillain-Barré syndrome. Really? Guillain-Barré syndrome that's caused by lots of the different vaccines they give people. Oh, you mean that Guillain-Barré syndrome? Yes, that Guillain-Barré syndrome. Yes, temporary 666. I forgot to mention that. I did see Zika's in Kentucky as well, they're saying. Oh, yeah, it's spreading everywhere, guys. This stinks to high heaven to me. Everything that we've researched, oh, and Mississippi, thank you. Everything that we've researched about the quote-unquote non-existent biowarfare program, entomological warfare utilizing insects as disease vectors, including mosquitoes, genetic modification, looking at things such as chikungunya, dengue, and now Zika. And now all of a sudden, we're talking pandemics, and they've morphed to create now all this horror. And all the people who are involved in funding this is just so, so stinky to me. Oh, and even hear this. This is what I love. That's why I'm reading this story, because this came out of NBC. Like, can you be more mainstream lefty? Pro-vaccine. So the way they spin this is interesting. Here's the next sentence. So it now, never before seen, once thought harmless, Zika can now cause these severe birth defects, can also cause major neurological complications, they're thinking, like Guillain-Barré, and it is hard to tell exactly what is happening. Oh, really? This is plausible deniability added to the equation, because Zika is not easy to test for. Oh, maybe we should send in the troops. Oh, just like we did in Africa for Ebola. Symptoms, as well as test results, can be easily mixed up with dengue. And many people may be infected with both. Oh, with both at the same time. So like I said, when we were talking about the brand new quote-unquote dengue vaccine, which makes you wonder if they weren't giving the pregnant women dengue vaccines, because I would like to know. That would explain a lot as well. But like I was talking about immunity, if even doing the tests can easily mix up a false positive, they're saying, with dengue if you have Zika, or you could have Zika and dengue at the same time. How could you be pointing your finger to anything, number one? And number two, now that they got a vaccine for dengue, how far of a stretch is it to come up with a vaccine for Zika? I wouldn't say very much. This is just absolutely crazy. Yeah, this story, I'll drop this in the chat, guys. I don't know if I have chat open here, but this story is saying that now they're thinking that it also causes neurological symptoms like Guillain-Barré, however you say it. Here, let's go to UCY Lobby. Sorry, guys. I had, like, beyond rough yesterday. It was 12 straight hours on one fucking project that I was ready to, like, stab something after. All right. That's the story I'm reading right now. It'll be in the notes after the show. Oh, where did I go? Okay. So let me get out some of my frustration on NBC's bullshit that they're spinning here. The U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention has issued a travel advisory suggesting that pregnant women put off travel to affected countries if they can until more is known. And I've seen that in these South American countries now, they're telling the women, don't get pregnant at least like until 2018. Yeah. So let's wipe out an entire generation of babies with this horrifying disease, and let's make sure that women don't get pregnant until 2018. That'll cut down on. So they're sitting there with their calculators, you know, Bill Gates with his little flappy thing, one of those, the sun visor. He's got a cigar hanging out of his mouth and his little light beaming. He's adding up how many we just wiped out of South America, getting those numbers down for his carbon quotient. I every fiber of my being feels that that is true, that this is what is going on. This is beyond insidious. Now, what I don't get, NBC, do your research, because this story is from January 19th, so what, less than 10 days ago, and this story says that there is no vaccine. Wrong. There's no vaccine or treatments for either Zika or dengue. Wrong. Dengue. Sanofi released a vaccination, and they're going to be giving it to all the Brazilians, as well as many, many other women in other countries. We read about that a few days ago. So according to the story, there is no vaccine or treatment for either Zika or dengue. Oh, although an experimental vaccine for dengue is being tested now on the women of Brazil. Oh, no, that is not. Guys, somebody sold Brazil out. And you know, that woman in charge, that pig dog, that's what we call her in our inside circles when we're doing videos, this pig dog, Rousseau, she was about ready to get impeached there a few months back. I had asked on air if anyone knew what had happened, because they were getting ready to impeach her. There were all kinds of violence going on there right before all this happened. And she got out of it. Like, they pulled it, and she's still in charge. So Rousseau, did Rousseau get a threat? Play nice, or we wipe out all your newborns? Is it like Rumpelstiltskin? We're going to take your babies for medical research. If you sign up with the BRICS Bank, think about it. If you go against the world banking system and try to form your own BRICS Bank, we'll teach you. Yeah, the commie, the pig dog. Oh, she's a nasty looking woman, that's for sure. But hey, you know, you got to kind of give her kudos, though, that at least some of those countries were trying to stand up to the machine. Standing up also to all of the rampant NSA surveillance. Remember, they were all working on trying to create their own internet and all working on trying to create their own international bank. That was all last year that was happening. And now, oh my God, we have this epidemic killing all the children. It's not cool. And the whole time, it's absolute, complete, plausible deniability. All right, experts agree that the best way to prevent infection is to reduce mosquito populations and for people to avoid being bitten by using repellents and wearing protective clothing and staying indoors. Don't go anywhere. Spraying can kill mosquito populations and even beneficial insects. The widespread spraying of DDT in the 50s and the 60s greatly damaged bird populations. Other teams, though, are working on ways to genetically engineer mosquitoes. One group genetically modified mosquitoes so they could produce only male offspring. Male mosquitoes don't bite, and it is the females that need blood to produce healthy eggs. Another team is infecting mosquitoes. How nice is this? Infecting mosquitoes with a bacteria called Wolbachia, Wolbachia, that kills mosquitoes while they are young and also seems to prevent them from carrying dengue. This wonderful technology is right this very moment being tested in Vietnam. Oh, well, let's wait and see what happens in Vietnam. So that's another Petri dish. It's got all these nice warm Petri dishes down in the Southern Hemisphere. Altered mosquitoes, though, are probably only one part of what should be a wider approach to control disease-carrying mosquitoes, experts say. For one thing, no matter how successfully local populations are reduced, it is likely numbers would rebound after a few years. So researchers would have to continually reintroduce genetically engineered mosquitoes forever and ever, kind of like genetically modified seeds. They don't reproduce, so you have to keep buying them to be able to grow food in what, our screwed up environment that's been damaged by quote unquote climate change. You seeing a pattern here? But in theory, the approach could be used to fight all types of mosquitoes, including the Anopheles gambiae mosquito that transmits most of the malaria. Experts said, if nothing else, these experiments, and they're experiments, may help reassure people that GM mosquitoes are not harmful. Well, you might be reassuring everybody else, but you're not reassuring me. Quote, the successful efforts of Oxitec in Brazil could go a long way to helping counter certain misconceptions about mosquito genetic control technologies involving genetically altered insects by showing that it can be effective and not necessarily risky or dangerous, says David O. Brashota, an expert on insect genetics at the University of Maryland, who himself breeds transgenic mosquitoes. Yeah, he doesn't have skin in the game. Sounds like a complete unbiased opinion in this one. He says, I do not think that Oxitec's expansion of their area of operation is surprising. No, neither do I. And in my opinion, is generally an encouraging sign that this and related genetics-based technologies for the control or elimination of mosquitoes is moving toward the mainstream. Now, guys, if that story does not horrify you, I don't know what does. What insanity is this? This is like doublespeak, 100% flip it on its head. Make you feel that the genetically modified mosquito is going to be our savior. When I have a big suspicion that the genetically modified mosquito has something to do with what's happening. All right. So more infection. We talked yesterday, and I don't think we finished the story. Oh, maybe we did. We did. We talked about how all of a sudden out of the blue, now they're announcing is we have these toxic algae blooms all over the place. Oh, don't drink the water. Don't drink the water. Exposure to algae toxin could increase the the risk of Alzheimer's-like illness. Well, remember, we have this pandemic now, epidemic globally, of these Alzheimer's-like illnesses everywhere. It's going to become a really big problem. Degeneration of the brain happening to even younger and younger people, and we don't know what's causing it. We've thrown out some theories. We've looked at mad cow. We've looked at Alzheimer's. We've looked at the transmissibility of those potentially. We also looked at good old Tommy Insel quite a number of times, the former director of the National Institute of Mental Health, now going over to Google Life Sciences and working on the development of diagnosing mental illness using some sort of smart apps. Well, check this out. I've seen a lot of conflicting stories after we first saw the story that said that Alzheimer's may be contagious, least transmissible through the blood, through dental work and whatever. And I saw lots of places like Snopes going, oh no, that's not true. You can't get Alzheimer's from blood transfusions, something that we probably have known for a lot of years, but haven't said anything about. I mean, the one thing that I had always said, it was very similar, and they discovered the proteins even act the same way between Alzheimer's and bovine spongiform encephalopathy, good old mad cow, as well as Krupchev's-Jacobs disease, which is the human form. But check this out. So this came out of Gizmodo yesterday. So we have the story about the role of blue-green algae and this substance and all these toxic algae blooms called BMAA, which they're finding now in this algae, and they're finding evidence showing that it's causing this Alzheimer's-like illness and plaques, as a matter of fact, tangles in the brain in animals in their experiments. Story out of Gizmodo from yesterday. Controversial, quote-unquote, transmittable Alzheimer's theory is starting to look plausible. Yeah. Yep, plausible. Back in September, researchers in the UK discovered that brain disorders such as Alzheimer's may be transmissible through certain medical procedures. Yeah, those are those malformed prions. They can't disinfect them. They can't kill them. And they found a long time ago that they thought that some of the Krupchev's-Jacobs disease had been spread through brain surgeries and stuff, through sterilization procedures that they thought were getting implements for surgeries clean, but they weren't, because proteins aren't alive. They're proteins. They couldn't kill them. I know they've said, oh, yeah, well, we think we might be able to kill them now, but not all of them. Look, they thought they killed all the anthrax, too, using radiation, and all those spores were still partially alive. Back in September, researchers in the UK discovered that brain disorders such as Alzheimer's may be transmissible through certain medical procedures, and skeptical scientists urge caution. But now, a different set of autopsy results have shown the same thing. The latest autopsies were performed on brains of patients who died of Krupchev's-Jacobs disease, CJD, a rare brain-wasting disorder. Many years later, these individuals had received surgical grafts of dural matter, a membrane that covers the brain and spinal cord, prepared from human cadavers. And yeah, we figured that out. We talked about that study a long time ago. Regrettably, these grafts were contaminated with the prion protein responsible for CJD. 5 of the 7 brains analyzed also showed signs of Alzheimer's disease, and this was odd because these individuals were 28 to 63, and they were too young to have developed the amyloid plaques indicative of the neurological disorder. Amyloid plaques are a misfolded protein that fuels the spread of Alzheimer's and BSE, CJD, many others. Analysis of a control group failed to show signs of this wasting signature, and this suggests that the seeds of certain neurological diseases can be transmitted during certain medical procedures or even through contaminated surgical instruments. Now, I've been yapping about that for 25 years. When we first started reading about bovine spongiform encephalopathy, I started digging in pretty deep. I got Scientific American and Discover Magazine. Those were my two resources for research back in those days, and they were showing evidence back then. The new report, written by researchers from Switzerland and Austria, can now be found in the Swiss Medical Weekly. Back in September, a different research team discovered something very similar. While performing an autopsy on 8 CJD patients, the University of College London researcher found that 4 of them exhibited similar vacuolar amyloid beta pathology, and alarmingly, all of these patients, most of whom were young when they died, caught their CJD from a growth hormone derived from the pituitary gland of human cadavers, some of which were contaminated with prions. Importantly, neither study suggests that Alzheimer's can be transmitted through normal physical contact. Also, cadaver-derived human growth hormone isn't used anymore, which is true. It's been replaced by synthetics. But scientists are now seriously worried that the amyloid seeding is actually a thing. And something that we read in the actual studies to this is that they had believed that it could potentially be transmitted through blood transfusion. And of course, they haven't been scanning any of the blood supply for this. And they also believe through dental surgeries. So this theory will require more proof as if it is to be accepted by the scientific community, and both studies are purely observational. Both were performed on a limited sample of subjects, and moreover, neither study proves that the deposits of amyloid beta were actually caused by the contaminated dura mater or hormone injections. But these findings, though preliminary, are nonetheless disturbing. Yeah, so is finding out that some substance made in blue-green algae that blooms in all of our water in the summer can also cause amyloid plaques. It's extremely disturbing. So what do we have now? We got babies with microencephaly all over the South America. Now we got this epidemic of dementia. Could be blood transfer infusions, could be dental surgeries, could be eating bad beef for the last 20 years. Oh, it could be drinking water that had this BMAA from algae toxin. Are you seeing a connection? Let's take out all of the higher level thinking. Like, this is beyond scary. Your brain is what you are. Without your brain, you are no more. You can't think or fight or be interactive. But guess what? We're going to have a brain implant that can fix that soon. And we're going to have a mobile app that'll be able to diagnose you soon. So here, let's kick off the end of the show with this. So yeah, here's another brand new story, and this actually is dated to go out in the February 1st, 2016 edition of Scientific American. Brand spanking new, language could diagnose not only schizophrenia, which we already knew about, but it could also diagnose Parkinson's and ALS. Now, how interesting that those are the three things that they've been working on brain implants and treatments for using some sort of like deep brain stimulation. Yeah. Future doctors may ask us to say more than ah. Several groups of neuroscientists, psychiatrists, and computer scientists are now investigating the extent to which patients' language can provide diagnostic clues before a single laboratory test is run. Increasing computing power and new methods of measuring the relation between behavior and brain activity. Remember, behavior monitoring. Between behavior and brain activity have advanced such efforts. And although tests based on spoken word may not be as accurate as gene sequencing or MRI scans, for diseases lacking clear biological indicators, language mining could help fill the gaps. psychiatrist at Columbia University interviewed 34 young adults at risk for psychosis, a common sign of schizophrenia that includes delusions and hallucinations. And 2.5 years after 5 of the subjects had developed psychosis, the remaining 29 remained free from the disorder. A specially designed algorithm combined the initial interviews collectively to look for language features that distinguished the two groups and found that psychosis correlated with shorter sentences, loss of flow and meaning from one sentence to the next, and less frequent use of the words that, what, and which. Oh, so there you go. That's what they're going to be looking for. And when later tested on each individual interview, the computer program predicted who did and who did not develop psychoses with what? 100% accuracy. The results were recently published in Schizophrenia, which must be some science publication, and a second round of testing with another group of at-risk subjects is now underway. 27 subjects in a study at Falavaro University in Argentina listened to recorded sentences containing verbs associated with specific hand shapes, such as applaud or punch. And as soon as they understood the sentence, participants pressed a button while keeping both hands either flat or clenched in fist positions. Healthy subjects responded more quickly when the verb and hand shape were compatible compared with when they were incompatible. Subjects with early stage Parkinson's disease, however, showed no difference in their reaction times. Such disconnects could serve as an early sign of the disease before any onset of problems, and now researchers are conducting similar studies with people who are healthy but carry a genetic mutation for Parkinson's. Oh my God. And then the last one, of course, is ALS, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. I think this is what Stephen Hawking has characterized as a movement disorder. A new study led by Sharon Ash of the University of Pennsylvania shows that it may also disrupt your grammar. And guess what, guys? We got about 10 seconds left in this Wednesday's edition of Before the First Cup. Yeah, I have about 6 million cups. All right, guys, make sure you stick around. Miss Lonnie Clark is live up next. And tonight, live at 6, is Josh. 6 p.m. Eastern, 8, Continued Condition with the Boys from New York. At 9, Truth or Talk with April Inversi at 11, Antimedia Radio with Nick and DB. Everyone have an awesome Wednesday, and I will catch up with you tomorrow.